Started to develop it a little bit. We kind of read through it pretty quickly, this Haggadah, which I'm not regretful for, but I did want to come back on Thursday and give a quick shmooze. The Gemara says, and Nafheim and Avon, Sashas Ksubis, Darash Bar Kafra, Gidolim Maiseh Tzadikim Yoter Mi Maiseh Shemayim Varetz. Maiseh Tzadikim are greater than Maiseh Shemayim Varetz. And he has a source, Ksiv, he has a Pasuk in Yeshaya, etc., etc., he brings a Raya. And I was thinking to myself, is that really true? I mean, I stand here in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incredible world, the detail, the nuance. You look around, the fact that the sun rises and sets every morning, the fact that, you know, I think the discovery of DNA is so unbelievably detailed. I was going online to check to how long. I saw two different things about the length of how much DNA is in one person's body. One website said, that's where I get my information from science from, you can unroll your personal DNA and unroll it all the way and go to the moon and back 6,000 times, which is a heck of a lot of DNA for one person. I think the DNA in your body is capable of holding more information than all the computers ever created in all the world until this point in time. Like, I'm more impressed with Maaseh Shemayim than I am with Maaseh Tzadikim. And therefore, what does this Gemara mean? That Maaseh Shemayim is greater than Maaseh Tzadikim. Maaseh Tzadikim is very impressive, but just less. There's a story I once heard as a kid growing up. I'll share with you the story. I haven't told the story probably in 15 years. Maybe a little less. It's a story growing up. It may have been like, it's like an Israeli story. I don't know the details of the story, but it's a powerful story. Spoke to me very much when I was a kid. I don't tell it because I feel it's a, I don't know. I don't tell it enough. The story goes as follows. The story goes that there was this, it could be heard the story if you did, just kind of don't ruin it. There was a tzaddik who, a guy, a Jewish guy, dies and goes up to heaven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts weighing in his mitzvahs and averos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts bringing out the scales, you know, and takes out a big, huge bags full of mitzvahs come over, and I guess these angels who are in charge, appointed to weigh in mitzvahs and averos. So the angel comes down, takes a big prick out of the bag and puts it on the mitzvah scale. And the mitzvah scale tips ever so slightly. And a second mitzvah, and a third mitzvah. Here's a mitzvah one time you did keep it up and in. Here's a mitzvah 1 second of tzitzis. Here's a mitzvah he put on tefillin for 1 second. A second of tefillin. Here's a big mitzvah. He was so unbelievably kind to an old lady walking in the street, who knows. Mitzvah after mitzvah, whole lifetime. And the first bag is done, the second bag, third bag. Mamish, the guy starts to feel a little more comfortable. He sees bags and bags and bags of mitzvahs. And after hours upon hours of taking out the mitzvahs and weighing them in one brick at a time, the person starts patting himself on the back a little bit. Like, I mamish, my lifetime, I have accumulated thousands and thousands, millions, perhaps billions, I don't know. Many, many mitzvahs. You think every second you're wearing tzitzis, every second every letter of Torah, mamish, could you imagine how much? And he sits there. And all of a sudden, the next big train or truck comes in, and the Averis guy comes out, and he starts taking out a bag, and he's schlepping it over. He puts one bag on, and ever so slightly, the scale tilts a little bit back. And he goes through bag after bag, and here's an Averis who spoke Lashon Hara, and here's an Averis who was disrespectful to his friend, and here's another Avera he had here, Hurim he shouldn't have had, and here's another Avera he looked at something he shouldn't have looked at, and here's another Mamish Avera after Avera he spoke disrespectfully. Ah, well, Lashon Hara, you know, he didn't, instead of asking a Shaila, he just thought he'd do the Halacha and was Machal Shabbos accidentally, but an Avera. And as it's going through, the bricks start weighing in and weighing in, and whatever the scale, which was once so heavily tilted towards mitzvahs, is slowly beginning to. And after hours upon hours of Averis after Averis, the man who once felt so confident or overconfident is now far more insecure, far more hesitant, very, very nervous, and slowly but surely the scales begin to tilt back and forth until finally it mamish looks like it's done. They put on the last Avera, and it looks like it's totally even. So the angels come out and start measuring and measuring and back and forth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to this guy over here, he says, you want to know what? I want you to go into the earth and bring me a gift. Bring me a gift. The guy goes into the earth and he's trying his best. He's traveling through time and through history and through countries, and he doesn't know what gift do you bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he comes back with a big, huge diamond, the biggest diamond you can imagine, precious and beautiful, shiny the best number of carats before it gets too much. I don't know what. Mamish, the most wonderful stone you can imagine. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the gift, and with a snap of a finger, he makes 50 more than he goes, you think that's what I can't do? And the guy goes back into the earth. And he comes back, he's like, God's from, what should I bring him? And he's like, he finds the most exquisite, the most artistically, aesthetically pleasing menorah he ever found, and he brings it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes, here, this is Jewish, you like this more than... HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, listen, my friend, my son, please, I can't give you any more chances. You have one more chance. Go bring me a gift that I'm going to want. And the man goes through time and history and back and forth. And the first thing he picks up is he's in Europe, and there's the pogroms, and there's this girl. And she's walking around Frum, and a bunch of Russians want to just treat her poorly for no reason. So they take her, they tie her feet to a rope, tie the other side of her rope to a horse, and she realizes what's going to go on. She realizes she's going to be pulled around town on a horse, and she's going to be flying around. They tie up her arms. And just before they do, she takes a pin out of her hair and puts it through her leg, through her skirt, so she can fly all over, and there shouldn't be a bizayon of a Jewish girl. And the horse starts riding, and the girl's, after 3 or 4 minutes, no longer alive. And she dies with this pin through her skirt. And the man takes the pin and puts it in his pocket and continues. And he heads out to under Tsarist Russia, the Tsar leading Russia. He walks into a Friday night family, and there's a pogrom going on there as well. And it's absolutely terrible. The Russians come in and they take the Shabbos candles and they burn down the drapes on the windows, and they take his hot soup and they pour it on his man's wife, and the wife is burning and the man can't do anything to protect it. And they come and they knock over the table and all the food hits the floor, and the man's poverty stricken as is, and it's just absolutely cruel. And the last second, the guy opens up the Aron Kodesh and the man screams out, please don't go in there. And they take out a bag and they find out it's just a bag. He opens it, pours it out, it's just a bunch of dirt, pours it out the window. And the man's like, you should know, my father's going back, when they were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael and Golis Bashan, he took a bag of sand. We were saving it for the Gula Shlema, passing it on from generation to generation. He picks up the sand and puts it in his pocket and continues. And then there's this third situation also, some type of anti-Semitic something or other. And a bunch of, I don't know, Poles or Russians, you can imagine they make a difference. Russians, you know, wanted to treat the Jews poorly, so they lined up all the kids from the cheder, and they're going to have them run here 500 feet across the yard. And as they run across, they push him down, the kid gets back up, and he pushes him down again. And someone takes out a bat and clobbers the kid, and the first kid goes by, and the second kid goes by. And each kid, as they go by, they get beaten and beaten and beaten. And there's this one little kid, Chaim Alev, everyone loves him. He's a tzaddik, and a balmidos, and sweet, and soft, and kind, and cute, and everyone thinks he's... They can't bear to see him go. They're going to let him... Let me go first. And finally, every single person goes, and the last person's turn is to go. And Chaim Alev walks out, and he starts walking through, and the Russians are beating him with these bats, and he's not... He makes up in his mind he's not going to cry, he's not going to scream, he's going to give them no hana at all. And he gets knocked down, he gets back up and starts walking, and he's walking and walking and walking. Finally, Mamsh almost beaten to death, he makes it till the end. There's a big, huge blow. He takes a blow to the head, his kippah falls off. He walks to the end, realizes his kippah's off, turns around to pick it up. And as he bends down to pick it up, one final blow at the head, he hits the floor and dies. And this man picks up the kippah. Walks in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mom is shaking. You can imagine how hesitant and scary he is, because his whole eternity is lying on the line over here. He lived near his future, 11 months, I don't know. Whether or not he's going up or going down is on the line over here, and he's unbelievably scared. His arms are shaking as he brings these gifts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out his hand, kivayachal, and takes the gifts from this man and says, my son, you've passed. I want you to know, from the time I've given man free choice, every one of these acts, every mitzvah you do, not only incredibly mysterious dik and nefesh, mitzvahs. But everything man does has a profound place in my heart. I was thinking about that story when we came across this Gemara. It's a powerful story. Obviously, the man goes up to heaven, he begins to appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu values and makes his way in. And I was thinking that story like captures a particular point in my mind, because in man's mind, the most powerful thing we can see is Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz. The intricacies, the details of the human body, of nature, of astronomy, the size of the universe is so incredibly large. There's tens of billions of stars in tens of billions of galaxies. Right? These are numbers we don't appreciate. And how far away the star is, you could look up at a star one night and realize that star has burnt out 200 million years ago. It just takes that long for light to travel here because the star is 250 million light years away. It's like, these are like concepts. The size of the universe is just so unbelievable. We don't appreciate, we're not even sophisticated to appreciate how much we don't understand the intricacies, the beauty, the power of Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz. But the answer is, from our perspective, the Gemara is not right. From our perspective, it's more important, it's more powerful, Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz. The ability to be blown away by the incredible intricacies of this versus me stomping on tefillin for a few seconds, versus me smiling at another Jew and just saying, hello, good morning, nice to see you. I forgot if I told you this. I think it was Rav Chanan Wasserman, one of the Gedolim in Europe. Every single morning in the concentration camp, he'd walk by and say good morning to the SS officer. I was so blown away by that story. The small little mitzvah, the answer is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. This Gemara makes all the sense in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective is, well, ours is inferior to his. The pshat in this Gemara is not, from man's perspective, what's more impressive. The pshat in this Gemara is, why did God create the world? And I'm not sure I know the answer, but somehow it's linked to man growing religiously, impressing God, so to speak, with mitzvos. The reason why I struggle and didn't tell the story so much, I think, is because, even though it's a powerful story, I really believe it is. I used to tell it to, like, when I was a junior NCSY. You know, I used to do NCSY, junior NCSY. I did junior NCSY. I used to tell a lot to 7th and 8th graders. I think it's a powerful story. It's a motivating story. Like, wow. Look at the power of a mitzvah. And I feel like it's lacking a certain sense of profundity. Like, lacking sophistication. When I speak, I try my best to balance passion and drive with sophistication and nuance. And I felt this story was slightly more powerful, slightly more inspiring, without a lot of nuance. And I'm thinking, when I came across the Gemara, it hit me a little bit. Although we are, and we try our best to be sophisticated thinkers, I'm a big believer in sophistication. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a sophisticated guy. His Torah is a sophisticated book. And to appreciate it on a sophisticated level, you have to be a sophisticated thinker. It's just that simple. It's not just that there's a sophisticated world out there, and for Torah, on a pragmatic level, to reach them, it has to be presented, packaged, and articulated properly. That alone hasn't happened. It's that Torah itself is a deep, profound expression of Chachmas Hashem, and therefore, in order to do it justice, you have to have a deep, profound, sophisticated perspective on life. Otherwise, you're cutting it short, more so than necessary. But having been said, it's important that we don't get caught up in the world of sophistication to the point where we lose pashut value of mitzvahs. At the end of the day, it's better we should all be and raise children who are frum than sophisticated. At the end of the day, it's mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values because it shows commitment. These are stories without any deep thought, without any sense of nuance, but they're powerful stories because it's three Jewish people saying, what I care most about this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember one summer in NCSY Kola, Rav Meir Tversky, who was the furthest thing from a handler, with the exception of perhaps Rav Nevenzal, came over to me and said, you know, I know you're driving to Yerushalayim. It must have been, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, because I sleep in, you know, a bit bigger these days. I was driving back home. He said, would you mind taking this Chassidish guy here who came to Beit Meir for a few days, looking for a ride to Yerushalayim? Would you mind giving him a ride back? I said, Rabbi, it'd be a pleasure. Sure, certainly. He said, you'll find him at night, Seder. He sticks out like a sore thumb. He's the only kid with the Bekesha. You'll recognize him, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I figured I would. Didn't see him, look around, didn't see him. David Marv, after Marv, walk over. I said, Rabbi, do you know where the guy went? He said, no. He says, you should notice him, 1, 2, 3. You know, sticks out like a sore thumb, like he told me. Didn't see him at all. Look around. I look, he looks. I said, Rabbi, he probably went home. You know, he probably got a ride home. I assume if he really wanted the ride, he would make it his business to find me. He said right after Marv, I'm leaving, there's more in it for him than me. He goes, no, that's wrong. He only had a ride at stake. You had a mitzvah at stake. He said it with a smile. He knew it was kind of funny to say so. He also knew it was 100% true to say so, and it really stuck to me. As much as we, partially because we're in a world, and partially because objectively, that's what Torah requires, a world of nuance, a world of profound thinking, a world of sophistication, as much as we should grow, as much as we should see the world in a broad-minded perspective, take our religious horizons and expand them, at the end of the day, there's nothing greater than Ma'aseh Tzaddikim. More so than Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz, more so than anything else. Understanding Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz requires a deep sound of scientific sophistication, a deep, profound, educated perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the author of the greatest science experience possible. Everything. There's no greater experiment than everything, because it includes whatever you're talking about, plus more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest scientist out there. He's the author of science. But more valuable than that is simply doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world. And therefore, as we use our yeshiva experience to cultivate a religious personality that will hopefully last a lifetime, and if not, finding motivation to continue making sure our avodas Hashem and religious commitment lasts a lifetime. As we're using these formative years to build ourselves into who we're going to be for life, every single mincha, every single maariv, every single shacharis is an opportunity to do Ma'aseh Tzaddikim, which are greater than Ma'aseh Shemayim V'aretz. Every 10 seconds of Torah, every half a second of Torah, every opportunity is to help somebody else, or to smile at somebody else, or to wave hello, or to say good morning, or to help them when they need a favor. I remember once Rabbi Tagin giving a powerful message, which spoke to me profoundly. He was talking about a story, I know from Shlomo Kalbach, you can probably catch it on YouTube. One of the rabbis, there was a guy sweeping the streets of Yerushalayim, and Shlomo Kalbach runs over to him and goes, you're a chassid of so-and-so, Rabbi? He's like, I'm not from anymore, I'm a chiloni sweet sweeper, but once upon a time I was a so-and-so chassid. He goes, could you please give me one teaching? Tell me something over in the so-and-so, whatever it was. And the Rabbi says, the street sweeper says the name of the Rabbi, there's nothing in the world like doing someone a favor. There's nothing greater than doing someone a favor. I heard that story a bunch of times as a high school kid on the Shlomo Kalbach tapes I used to listen to. I remember hearing it again at some point in time when I was in YU. And Rabbi Tarek can give this powerful message about it. He gives such an insightful perspective. It really spoke to me. Have you ever really, really, really been unbelievably stressed out? You're running around. You don't know how you're going to get out of this particular situation. You know, like, I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. I really want the exit. And someone comes along and is like, sure, I'd love to help you out. It's the most wonderful feeling. It just takes the whole weight of the world off your shoulders. It's so relieving. It's so emancipating. How often do we spend our time asking, what does this person want out of me? How do I make their life better? This person comes over to talk to me, he just wants a smile, he wants a positive reaction, he wants, wow, yesh koach, nice heart. Thank you for holding the door for me. There's a million, like, whether it's been Adma L'malko, it's been L'chaver, it's been L'atzma. And if it's, if Mamash, you can't beat the Yetzirah, you're going to speak Lashon Hara. Hold off 10 more seconds till you say. You can't beat the Yetzer Hara, you're going to look at or think of something you shouldn't do, which is a terrible thing you shouldn't do. Hold off 10 more seconds. Small, tiny mitzvos, health, build, committed Jews. not to the exclusion of sophistication, not to the exclusion of deep thought, not to the exclusion of vision. Don't get caught up trying to impact Klal Yisrael and saving the world and building Zionism and growing Talmud Chacham that you can't stop and daven mincha properly. Every small mitzvah we do, every small time, 1 second of where it sits us, is gadol mimaisa shemayim v'aretz. We should continue with a hunger to grow as individuals, to develop our religious personalities, to improve our religious persona, to develop sensitivity, love, care for people, sensitivity, dedication, and appreciation of authority to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah. And we should make sure we maintain and cultivate a passion for every small mitzvah along the way. Have a Shabbat Shabbos.